0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another big weekend across Scottish football. Rangers lose again, this time against Genk, but Russell Martin remains confident he has the backing of the board. Brendan Rodgers urges Daizen Maeda not to feel sorry for himself as his post-transfer window form suffers. And there's a big weekend up and down the country, none more so than North Lanarkshire, where Aberdeen really could be doing with a win at Fir Park. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Russell Martin has an approval rating of zero following last night's result. Rangers thought that the game against Hibs in the Premier Sports Cup might have been the turning of a corner. No, it wasn't. And the clock is now ticking on the head coach Livy on Sunday. He dare not lose. As for Daizen Maeda, I went to Fir Hill last Sunday and I looked at Maeda and I thought his attitude was poor in the warm-up, never mind the game. He cannot cut that isolated figure because he's no use to Brendan Rodgers or his teammates. And Jimmy Tilleen at Motherwell tomorrow. No wins, no goals. Like Russell Martin, this can't go on.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on the fact that Brendan Rodgers' comments on Daizen Maeda. I think it's now a case of in a natural Celtic career is well and truly up and running. I think he's been really effective in the last three games that he's come on. In terms of Rangers and Russell Martin, more misery. Obviously last night that performance, that the questions were asked after the Hibs game, could they put a run together? The answer is no. And now for me, it's another must win on Sunday away at Livingston.
Come on down, Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And as always, same as every night, doesn't really matter what day of the week it is or the time of year in Scottish football, there is loads going on. So let's hear from you, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of last night? Of course, there were big moments that shifted the game, most notably the red card shown to Mohamed Diomande. Does that alleviate any of the criticism aimed at Russell Martin, or do you look beyond that? You're looking at the performance for the first 40 minutes when it was 11-11, and we're back where we were really, I suppose, before that Hibs game. It's another defeat, another heap of pressure going on to Russell Martin, but again more defiance from the head coach, who seems pretty confident that he has the backing of those that employ him. So where are you now, Rangers fans? I'm going to get a wee clip of me saying, where are you now, Rangers fans? And just keep hitting it, because it must be about the 77th time this season already that we've asked it. But nevertheless, let's go for the latest edition. How are you tonight, Rangers fans? What are you making of it all ahead of Livy at the weekend? 0141 951 1025. Here's a question, Celtic fans, I couldn't possibly have imagined asking you over the last year or so. Would you leave Daizen Maeda out tomorrow? The runaway player of the year in Scotland last season, 32 goals, easily one of the first names on Celtic's team sheet every single week. Has that now changed? Brendan Rodgers speaking today about the risk of him potentially feeling that it was unfair that he didn't get his move, and maybe even a subconscious thing that can affect your form. Ian Atchell's shown what he can do up to a point through the middle. Tenepke's shown what he can do off the left. So where does that leave Daizen Maeda this weekend, and maybe longer term, big picture as well? 0141 951 1025. Aberdeen fans, I would love to hear from you. Educate us down here. We're a few hundred miles down the road. What are you thinking about this weekend? Is it Jimmy Tilleen's last stand if he was to lose? Or again, maybe Aberdeen are backing their man the way Rangers are backing Russell Martin. How do you feel about your picture heading to Fir Park? There is so much to get through. A brilliant weekend. Talking points everywhere you look. What is not to like, Hugh Keevans?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Russell Martin will dominate, I think, the headlines, because he is defiant, but it's empty defiance, Gordon, because he's won four games in 14 as Rangers manager. One of those was against Alloa Athletic at Ibrox, Panathinaikos, Pilsen, and Hibs last weekend, which, as I said earlier, was supposed to be the turning point in Rangers' season, but clearly it was not. And with regard to Daizen Maeda, he's a byproduct of the shambolic transfer window that Celtic had. He believed he was leaving the club. He had apparently cleared out his locker at Lennox Town, and then it didn't happen for him. But if he wants to sulk, it's a long time until January. It's a long sulk.
And as if that wasn't enough, I forgot one of the other talking points, one of the other headlines. The latest in a long line of protests from the Celtic fans. We'll see three silent protests in the next three games, starting tomorrow. 12 minutes of silence. That's going to go up for the next game, up for the game after that. What do you make of that? Is that the right way to go about things? Are you happy to throw your weight behind it? And how much are you willing to donate to Cash for Kids if I get 12 minutes of silence from Hugh Keevans?
Yeah. What do you think? That'll never happen.
From now until the first break, get your calls in. Let's start with Darren in Cumbernauld, who's given us a call, which we appreciate as always. Darren.
Hi, good evening. Good evening, Gordon. Good evening. Who else is in the studio?
It's Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing? I'd just like to put my point about the display that the Rangers put on last night. It was absolutely atrocious. The low intensity, nothing. It wasn't even like a Thursday night in Europe. It just felt flat, very flat. And there was a point that I was saying to your producer, Ross, about when Ant-Man and Asgard had the ball, and the two of them were playing intricately between each other, and the Ant-Man actually played Asgard through, and they just stood there static. And that just said it all for me, that the players are not, they don't know each other when they're playing. There's nothing there. They made Genk look actually a good team, but really they weren't. So that just goes to say a lot for us, that don't take it away from Genk. They actually deserve their win. But there was just nothing from Rangers. I'm actually, that's it, I'm just not going back at all until he's out. And for my own health as well, because my blood pressure was sky high at the games. I've never walked away early from so many games in my life. And I want to go and support my team and help my team get over the line. But there's nothing there. There's nothing there for us fans to grab onto. There was nothing there last night. There's been nothing there since Martin came. I'm so angry. I'd just like to put that
you point sound, you sound proper guys. Scunnered, Darren. Sounds like it's getting to you.
Gordon, it's really getting to me. I'm sitting here with my blood boiling, actually, thinking about it. And I've paid a lot of money to Rangers so far this season that I'll not be paying any more. I'm not going to register for any games away or anything, which I usually do. I'm sick of it. My blood's boiling. I need him out. We all want him out, and they must go.
Start with the performance last night, Scott. That's the obvious place to start. There's loads to get through, but what did you make of it? As bad as Darren thought?
Yeah, I just feel it's now, that is now a common Russell Martin Rangers team performance. Very flat, laboured in terms of playing out from the back. In terms of going forward, a real lack of creativity. I think that's evident for everybody to see. I think take the Hibs game into isolation up until obviously Raskin scores from the set piece, it was fairly similar. There's no getting away from that. And I think the performances and the way the fans are feeling, and listen, the eye test never lies. The fans know what they're watching. I think that was probably most of the reason why it was so flat at Ibrox last night. As flat as it's been for a long, long time in terms of a European tie. So.
And I suppose just on that though, the it's not just the eye test though, is it? Because, well, they're not winning games of football, right? So there's your obvious one. Then if you're a stato and you want to dig in and you want to look at even the most basic metrics, which we've all thrown out there about shots on goal, shots on target, you want to go even deeper to XG, whatever you want, there's no test that's really been passed at the moment, is there?
None whatsoever. That's what I'm saying. I just feel that is now the standard performance you're getting out of this Russell Martin Rangers side. I feel we hear week to week about growth. There's been no growth in terms of team performance, and for me it's now, he's now against the clock. I think the fans are way past seeing them. The Rangers having a recovery.
Cut any slack for this? I mean, they did play a Europa League game for more than a half with 10 men. Do you cut any slack for that?
No, not really.
Bound to make your job harder, though.
Well, yes, but before Diomandé was sent off, they spent 40 minutes going nowhere, Rangers.
Yep.
So, Europe used to be a very positive distraction for Rangers. You know, we all remember Giovanni van Bronckhorst and the road that led to Seville for the final. But Europe could be a distraction of another kind this season. It could make things go from bad to worse. They've already done a 9-1 against Club Bruges. Last night was a very poor start, and now they're off to Sturm Graz next week. Also, the point that Darren makes about not going back, non-attendance is starting to become a problem. Now, Andrew Kavanagh was in Scotland for a week. I understand that he flew back to Philadelphia today. However, he's had a week to be informed by his appointees what's going on and off the park, the reaction of the fans. Be interesting to know what he does about it, because at the moment, you can't have non-attendance, you can't have 4 wins out of 14, and you can't have a manager with an approval rating of 0.
On last night though, Darren, same question to you. Are you giving no weight to the sending off and ultimately being down to 10 men, because it's Russell Martin leaned on it a lot. I was at the game, I was in his post-match press conference. Every time he was asked about, you know, maybe not creating or chances going to the opposition, he said, well, that's, you know, partly or largely down to being down to 10 men. Are you given any sort of leeway for that?
Well, not really. As you said, there was, even when Diamandé was sent off, there was a lack of creativity. Diamandé was trying to do things that he always turns back into trouble. I'm not accepting that. I knew as soon as Diamandé gets sent off that Martin would come out with that excuse. And that, to me, it's just an excuse. And as he said many, many times in the interview, I listened to the post-match interview, Gordon, and they kept coming back to the same thing about, oh, he'd get sent off, he should have had a penalty, this and that. It's not. For me, it's not acceptable. And I think for many fans, it's not acceptable either. They just want to go and support the team. But finding it harder and harder every single time, cause watching that, as even Ali McCoy says, it's all in the eye. We can see, everybody can see what's happening on the pitch. And it's honestly, I'm 52 years of age, and I've been to Rangers all my life. I've had a season ticket for over 25 years, and honestly, I've never seen so much dross in all my life.
Darren, there's also an inconsistency in Russell Martin's argument about 10 men. Rangers were better with 10 men than they were with 11.
Yeah, I agree with you. And what got me was the Asgard and Ant-Man situation. And your producer, Ross, I agree with you. He knows what I was talking about. When they were playing intricately between each other and getting past, and Ant-Man pushed the ball through. And Asgard was meant to run on you. And he's just too static looking at Ant-Man, as if to say, was I meant to run there? And that said it all for me. You know, it was unbelievable.
I'm finding Asgard's sort of role, if you like, Scott, or Asgard's performances, actually been quite symptomatic of Rangers overall. Because see, if you just watch him, he actually looks pretty good in the sense that
he looks like football.
That's what I mean. And he's comfortable enough on the ball, and he'll have some nice turns and nice touches. But then you check yourself and realise that he's Rangers number 10, and he's probably created, I don't want to say no chances this season, but it certainly feels that way. So I don't know if it's his fault, I don't know if it's a team structure thing, but it just feels like he might sum up. You know, it's not like you're looking at him and thinking he's a bad player, that's a terrible signing, but how can Rangers number 10 have created so little? We're nearly in October.
I just think the end product, I think that's what fans want to see, people that get you off your seat. I don't think he naturally gets you off your seat. I think he does, as you said, he does some nice things on the eye, on the ball. For me, do feel he's a bit one-paced. Don't see that burst of pace. I think the one Darren's relating to, if he bursts on it, yeah, away. And listen, yes, we can single out Asgard, but in terms of the strength,
I didn't mean to single him out as if he's the guilty party and all. I just thought it summed up.
In that final third, there's just no no relationships between the players.
Right, Darren sounds very fed up, shall we say. He's even worried about his health on the back of it. You take care of yourself, Darren. I was going to say it's only a game, but I can't make that stick in this part of the world. Adams and Finneson, what's your take on it all, Adam?
Hi there. I've just watched the game last night, and it's what it is for me is there's a complete lack of imagination from them. I'm starting to think now, even if they brought in Guardiola or Ancelotti, they would have the same problem. It's like a team of misfits. They just don't know how to work as a team, which is quite worrying. I remember I phoned in after the first game of the season. I said they could be 9 points behind by a month's time, and I was just out by a week or so. They are 9 points behind, and I think it's not going to get better. I think they'll be lucky to get 2 points against Livingston and Falkirk, and I'm being generous here. So they're in deep trouble.
Can I just ask you, Adam, on your first point, when you said you know, even Pep Guardiola, you know, wouldn't make a difference, does that mean you're not pinning it all on the manager?
Aye, well, the manager's got a lot to blame as well, but I think the team has to take a lot of onus has to go into them. They're just not performing. I think they don't know how to perform. They seem like misfits to me.
We won't know the answer to that one.
Just specifically on that though, Hugh, the difficulty that any head coach has, well, Russell Martin signed them, a lot of them, and sets them up. So if they don't look like they know what they're doing and they're misfits, which is Adam's take on it, it's still sort of hard to not blame Russell Martin for a bit of that, isn't it?
It has to be joint responsibility, joint accountability. But it's an interesting one. If Rangers did decide to get rid of Russell Martin, would his replacement get more out of those who are being criticised? We won't know until or if that happens. But I have to think
that the
clock is ticking on him, Scott. You know, last night was a body blow. People are not going to matches. Europe threatens to be a problem on top of the domestic issues. Tomorrow, Celtic and Hearts could both be 12 points ahead of Rangers.
I think for me, in terms of how they're set up, we've spoke about it for a number of weeks now. I feel you can get the players, your Gassamas, your Antmans, your Asgard, in better areas more often than they do. I think it's just so laboured, obviously, bringing the ball out from the back. And I totally get that if a team's pressing you, that you want to suck them out to then create the space in behind. But there's got to be a time where you've got to see Rangers with a bit of aggression. And I mean aggressive with the ball. And I just don't see that in Russell Martin's Rangers side. I just don't. So for me, I do feel that someone, if he was to be relieved of his duty, someone could come in and get a tune out of some of the players.
Adam, the previous caller made what I thought was an interesting point. I wonder how you feel about it. The kind of, I don't know, has it got to like apathy sort of already? I was at the game last night. The atmosphere just seemed weird. Like there wasn't that rage against Russell Martin right throughout. There was a bit after the game, but you lot used to really go for it in these European nights, and they were a big deal. So before you even get to the number of empty seats, it was just all a bit flat, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're doing, they're playing like possession for possession's sake. When they get to the final third, they're just redistributing the ball again, and it's infuriating to watch. And it's just, that's what I'm saying, there's just a lack of imagination. There's no running off the ball, no one looks interested. And if they don't buckle up, it's going to get really bad.
I don't know what it'll take. You know, would it take a defeat at Livy on Sunday, an embarrassment against Sturm Graz? I don't know what it will take, but we are going round and round in circles. Yeah. People are saying, I'm not going back until he goes. People who do go have the same complaints about the insipid nature of the football. And I have never known in my lifetime a manager of Rangers after 14 games to be so universally condemned as Russell Martin. So, as I say, Andrew Kavanagh was here for a week. He must have gathered his own thoughts, and on the plane back to Philadelphia, he has to fashion a plan to see where Rangers go from here.
I was coming down the stairs past the director's box, and I guess maybe some of it was shown on TV. There were obviously a few fans round about giving him what for, and as you would have to do, just stayed very stony-faced, you know, staring towards the pitch. He applauded the players as they came off. But you listen to Russell Martin, he sounds very comfortable in the position at the moment. So what do you make of it all? Give us a call, we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are waiting patiently on your calls, so get them in. Let us know what you're thinking, either on the back of last night or ahead of a huge weekend coming up across the Scottish leagues. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Russell Martin, who still retains the belief that Rangers will come good. He doesn't think last night's game is enough to change the mind of people on the board regarding his future.
The way the players train, the way they stick together in the second half, the feeling inside the training ground. So I can't control anything else apart from that. I work, learn from tonight, have a bit of perspective on tonight and how difficult it was after the red card. Because whether you like it or not, it changes a lot when you're down to 10 men for so long in a game, in a European tie. So learn from it, especially the first half, where we hurt ourselves a little bit and got trapped too much. And then get ready to prepare and perform and win on Sunday.
You still believe that you have the full support of everyone here at the club, and you still believe that you're capable of going and recovering a bit of ground?
Yeah, I don't think a game tonight where we're down for 10 men that long, for that long, changes things a huge amount in terms of that. So I feel nothing but support from them.
We shall see, because Andrew Kavanagh has yet to make his feelings known on what's going on at Rangers. But
he'll have spoken to me. He sounds very confident about it, Hugh.
Yeah.
I think there is a real gap between what the Rangers fans think might be about to happen and what the reality is.
Yeah, you may very well be correct, but the Rangers fans are fed up hearing him talking about the training ground.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay to go to the training ground, they pay to go to Ibrox and to Livingston on Sunday. He's not convincing anyone. And he's going on and on about the red card. Rangers were better with 10 men than they were... better with 10 men than they were with 11. So that argument doesn't hold water either.
Grant is on. What's your take on it all, Grant?
Hi, guys. How are you getting on?
Good, thank you.
I've run before. Can I talk about Rangers team and that? Same again. I'm afraid it's a team of learners. See, last night, we get the big European nights at Rangers. They do well. But how many players actually Rangers have signed in the last window who have played in Europe? The manager, he's got European experience. Does he really know how to get through the gears? It's to the side, it's to the back. Yep, keeping possession. But the final third, where's that wee bit of the next step? There's just nothing. It's as if the guys don't know how to play with each other. They're so slow. But European nights, you can forget it. The boys don't have a clue. The new signings don't have a clue. The wee left back last night, he was in no man's land. It's just, might be good in a few years' time, but they don't have any European experience, and it's that different level. That European night is a different level.
But the final third that you speak about, Grant, you know, that's a problem at domestic level as well as European level. So I don't know why they can be so good in the training ground, as he always says, and then look as if they haven't met when the game starts domestically or in European matches.
What do you make of Grant's point? You know, the players signed don't have European experience, Scott, because whilst that is mostly undeniably true, I don't suppose Scottish clubs really do sign kind of experienced European players. And Rangers actually, they've succeeded at this. You look at in recent seasons, they've managed to get a tune out of guys in Europe that weren't signed with huge European pedigrees.
Yeah, listen, I just think it's a number of mistakes and performances all coming together now, where they're all looking to one another who's going to be the guy who's going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. On Saturday it was Nico Raskin. But in terms of collectively as a team, I think Grant's spot on in terms of that creativity, but it is the hardest thing in football, is being creative around the edge of the box and then scoring goals. But when you're a team like Rangers and you're a home team, you've got to ask more questions. And at the same time, I know Rangers won on Saturday. I didn't think they defended particularly well on Saturday. I think on another day, Martin Boyle probably gets two goals before Rangers get their goal through Nicola Raskin. So, listen, they're not in a good place, and that's on and off the ball for me. I've been saying it for weeks. I don't see at this moment in time how he puts a run together just purely based on performance. For me, it's miles off where it probably should be.
Listening to Russell Martin there, Grant, the general theme was that last night's not enough to change his position in the eyes of the board because of the sending off and so on. Do you agree with that?
I think it was a sending off, to be honest. It was a sending off. It was a silly challenge. If you watch him over the season, he's not great at challenging for the ball. I think Russell Martin, the hole's getting deeper and deeper, and he's looking for excuses. It just can't go in with him, I'm afraid. Folks say he's not an arrogant man. Folk behind the scenes say he's a nice guy. But I think the job's just too big for him. It's too big for him. And I know he's got these signings coming in. The boy that came for Everton for 8, 10 million, he wouldn't get a game with Glenburn Amateurs. He really wouldn't. Can Russell Martin change things about and get these players better? You've seen it with past managers. He can grab the players with a scruff of the neck and make them better players. But can he make them better? I don't think he can. I think I think he just needs to put his hands up and say to the board, look, I've made a mess here, guys. Time to get somebody else in.
I don't think he'll ever do that. He will.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. He'll go on and invite them to get rid of him.
Yep.
He's on the road now. He's at Livy on Sunday. He's in Austria for Sturm Graz on Thursday, and then Falkirk away. Now, if Rangers were to fail to win all three of those matches, then somebody has to say something, because the season cannot progress in that fashion. They are second bottom of the league. Begging your pardon, Gordon, if Aberdeen were to beat Motherwell tomorrow, they'd be joint bottom of the league going into the game on Sunday. Well, you know, and your statement, Grant, that the job's too big for them, again, a theme that is repeated time and time again, he's out of his depth, etc., etc. How long can Rangers tolerate this being the case?
I do think there's just a tiny bit of room for an acknowledgement that all of this is partly based on the goodwill that isn't in the tank, I should say.
Yeah.
Just talking about the red card here, let me float a hypothetical scenario to you where Rangers have won the last five games and they're going really well. I think if last night plays out the exact way that it did, I think more Rangers fans are willing to blame the red card.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? But it's all
on winning games.
That's what
football.
I mean. Just further proof that result is king.
Of course.
So there's no goodwill there. There's no patience there for them. There's no understanding, and therefore, generally, if you go down to 10 men in the first half of a match, it can be quite damaging to your chances of winning that football game. But I'm not detecting that many Rangers fans who care or who are given that the acknowledgement that it might get if they were in good form or they liked Russell Martin. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
They won't back him on anything really at the moment.
If he's a Rangers manager, he's there to win games of football. Right now, he's not winning anywhere near enough. And on top of that, doesn't have a performance where or a style where fans can turn around and say, right, we're a wee bit off it here, but we can see what he's trying to create here at Rangers. That's the problem. It's performance and result. And you're the Rangers manager, it's result driven. You have to win games. And he's right now, in fact, since he came in, he hasn't delivered either.
James is in Stirling. Let's thank Grant and see what James thinks.
Hello, good evening. How are you doing?
Good, James. How are you, more importantly?
How am I? Not so good. I've been a listener to this show for 40 years and a season ticket holder for almost as long as that down at Ibrox. And I can't remember a time as trying as this. It really is quite awful. Now, with regards to Russell Martin, that chap has had 14 matches in charge of Rangers now. He's been in the club for over 3 months. He's had a lot of money spent and a lot of very good football players given to him to fashion into a team. And he just can't do it. I'm going down every week. There's no progress, no improvement. They're actually getting worse.
Yeah.
When you think about the games that they won earlier in the season, you know, against Panathinaikos and Pilsen, you know, was this, you know, despite of the fact Russell Martin was starting to coach the football out of them? I mean, last night, I don't think we had a shot on goal last night in a home game in Europe against a team like Genk. And, you know, with the greatest respect to Genk, they're not as good a team as Celtic. Celtic would have quite comfortably won that game last night. And, you know, looking at where we were last season, you know, under Clement, you know, don't get me wrong, he wasn't tearing it up, he wasn't setting the hell on fire, but the team was functional, the team was winning games, and we weren't sitting second bottom of the league. And I don't understand why we've went from a position where, over the course of the past 4, 5, 6 years, the team's actually been okay. You know, we've all got a little bit frustrated because we've not quite got there with regards to trophies. But there was no need to rip everything up and try and restart and build it from the beginning again. You know, there was a solid base foundation in there that all that had to be done was just finessed a little bit. You know, some more players in there. You know, keep with the style of football that we had. And, you know, just find another level again. It didn't need this complete reinvention, which, to be frank, has turned into a complete disaster.
I do think, though, James, that if Celtic win 13 of the last 14 titles and the club is taking over, Rangers are taking over, then you are inclined to think along the lines of a rebuild, redesign the team, get in a new manager, oblique head coach. Ordinarily, over the 40 years that you've been going to watch Rangers, you'd have said, after 14 matches, don't be daft. You can't call for the manager's head after 14 matches. But you are, and the vast majority of the Rangers fans are joining you in that particular thought. And as I say, I've never ever known a man to be so quickly condemned and found guilty, and the fans want a change and they want it now.
Are you surprised at that, Hugh?
The speed of it, Scott, yes. Because, you know, I've been watching Rangers managers from a professional perspective for 55 years and I've never known it to be this way. It gets that way, Michael Beale, Cashinha, Le Guin, but 14 matches he's had and the fans don't like the football, they don't like him, and they're starting to stay away. And that kind of decline cannot be allowed to go unchecked.
I mean, James, part of this seems to be that the Rangers fans are also not buying what he says as well as what they see on the pitch. Would that be a camp you would consider yourself in?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think with regards to previous managers, be it Steven Gerrard, Van Bronckhorst, Beale, Clement, you know, even Cucinha and Paul Le Guin, you know, there was something to hold on to there. There was some hope. We saw, you know, some wins. But I think in this occasion, we're looking at it and we're like, okay, where's the progress? Where's the progression? There's no improvement. We're not seeing anything at all. And all we're getting from Russell Martin is it feels like soothsaying. He's just telling us what he thinks we want to hear. And, you know, there's enough people down at Ibrox, been watching football for long enough, you know, almost as long as Hugh in some instances. And, you know, we understand the game. We understand what we're watching. You know, we're not idiots. We know that this isn't how it should be. You know, we've got the second biggest budget in the league. We've spent a phenomenal amount of cash, you know, and we're showing up and we can't create a chance, or we're struggling to create chances against teams like, with the greatest of respect, Dundee and Motherwell and St Mirren and the Hearts. And it's just not good enough for the amount of money that's been spent, the resources that are available. It's so far short of expectations that, you know what, yeah, it is 14 games in, but we have seen absolutely nothing to give us any confidence that he will be able to do anything else other than play this out. And I think if Kavanagh and co. don't get a handle on this and make the change, I think the way this season plays out is going to be really, really tough for Rangers fans. I think you're looking at a league points total of about 40 to 50 points. You know, I think you're looking at them struggling to qualify for Europe through the league. I think you're looking at a routine defeat of Celtic in the Cup next month. I think you're looking at probably very, very close to probably losing every single league phase game in the Europa League here. And then a routine defeat of someone in the Scottish Cup before too long. So I don't understand why they can continue to back him when all the evidence that we have from the 3 months so far, the 14 games that have been played, is, you know, pointing in the direction to say, look, there is nothing going on here. That this chap is at his absolute limit in terms of what his capability. He can't do it.
James makes some interesting points, and in there he spoke about the money spent. Scott, the interview Kevin Thelwell gave, he was the one that said Rangers had a 20 million net spend, and I remember that night thinking this can be taken two ways. One, a great sign of ambition and a great sign of how much the new regime is trying to change things. On the other hand, a stick to beat everyone with if this goes wrong. A 20 million net spend and this is what we've got, you know, is the sort of the potential there. Chief among that was obviously Youssef Tchermiti. We saw him for the first time from the start last night. Clearly, we're going to need to wait to make a proper judgment. But what did you make last night?
Yeah, I think just in terms of that hold-up play, the kind of finesse about him, I wasn't taken in by him, if I'm being honest. But at the same time, he's playing a team that aren't creating chances. So say you put them in a Rangers team last year and the season before, where a lot of their creativity comes from their fullbacks and James Tavernier putting balls in the box, and your Barisic's who constantly asked the question, asked opposition defenders to defend, then different story. But in terms of this shape and structure, whether it's Majovski, whether it's Chermiti, there just isn't balls for them to really attack. And he's a victim of the structure for me.
Chermiti's going to become the Rangers' Arne Ingels, because everyone's going to mention the fee before they mention him. Yeah. So that's his problem. It's also Kevin Thelwell's problem, because he was at Everton when Chermiti was there. And I have to believe that the signing of Chermiti for £8 rising to £10 million was very much down to Kevin Thelwell.
And the problem with that comparison, as right as you are, is because of where Celtic have been, they can afford for people to say you overpaid for Arne Ingels, because they still win the league.
Yeah.
You know, but if that goes alongside
he played a big part in some of the goals he scored for Celtic at the same time.
Chermiti then becomes an additional problem, because they'll go through Russell Martin, this, that, the other, and while we're at it, Chermiti.
Thank you very much. 0141 951 1025. We can keep going with that theme if you want. I can see it's very busy amongst the Rangers fans, but never let it be said that we're repetitive on here, because I've never asked this before. Celtic fans, or certainly not for a long time, would you leave Daizen Maeda out the team tomorrow? Honestly, things you never thought you would say, but I'm sure you're thinking about it. You'll be aware why the question's asked, and we're going to hear some interesting stuff from Brendan Rodgers on that topic. So give us a call.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are in the building. Why not join them? Not in the building, obviously, just on the phone. We'd love to throw the doors open, but we better stick to the phones for now. So get in touch and let us know what you're thinking this evening. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Very interesting comments from him today, because you'll all know the backstory. Daizen Maeda, best player in the country by a mile last season, top scorer, thought he was leaving. That didn't happen. All of a sudden, Iheanacho replaces him at half time during the week and looks good. What do you do? Do you shift Daizen Maeda to the left? Well, you might not need to do that, because Sebastian Tanetki's been very good as well. So the manager was obviously asked about it, and he says he just has to get on with life at Celtic after missing out on that summer move.
That is part of the management process, because you can't underestimate how difficult it's been for him. This is a guy who's given absolutely everything for this football club, and even sometimes when you want to give your best, there's a subconscious thing that can obviously hold you back a little bit. But what's important is, and like I say to any player in this situation, it's so important that you don't get caught up in this sort of mentality of it's not fair. Because when you get caught in that, it's a very dangerous territory. And it's hard to move on from. So you have to really look forward. Really do it for your teammates, do it for your family, do it for your supporters, and then eventually you get confidence back and you start to get back to your normal self. So, but he's been an incredible player for this club, and I'm pretty sure over these coming weeks he'll get back to the form that he's shown. And it's, you know, and I can only talk from my couple of years here. He's been absolutely sensational. So he will get back to that. But it is always a challenge. It's not a light bulb you just switch the flick on and off. It's this game's about emotions as well, and it can be challenging for players.
Ricky is on. Ricky, are we all of a sudden very quickly in a scenario where Daizen Maeda's place in the front three is under threat?
Possible. Can I just say, Gordon, what I was saying to the producer? No, I watched the Rangers game last night. This is just where I thought. If I was Celtic last night and we went down to 10 men, see if we possibly couldn't win that game with 10 men. I think the objective then is not to lose it. And I think the manager failed in that aspect and all. On Daizen, what I would say about Daizen is I think they're grabbing them all up, and as you draw a shade, we're fine on the left-hand side. Dyson's right-footed, he could go to the right, but I think he would leave him out, because I think he's no doubt tools, but I think it's still in his head. I think he's, you know, it's still about his head that he's thinking about it, and that's maybe making them know they what he would normally do. Now, the Japanese boys, when they think they were a downfield, I don't think that's in their nature. So I don't think he's down the field. But I think Brendan maybe just leave him out tomorrow before we get him.
We only have to listen to Brendan Rodgers, Hugh. Brendan Rodgers said there as well, sometimes it's subconscious. So he's not saying it's deliberate. He's not saying Dyson Maeda's become a bad egg. But Brendan Rodgers at length there explained that he can't fall into the trap of thinking it's not fair because he didn't get his move. Yeah. So the manager's explaining what's going on.
Yeah, we've got 3 months before the transfer window reopens. And I do have sympathy with Dyson Maeda because during the mess that Celtic were making of the transfer window, he got caught up in it and didn't get the move that he assumed was going to take place. As I say, I went to Firhill last Sunday. I watched Maeda very closely and he looked detached from everything. In the warm-up, he looked detached, disinterested, going through the motions. When he was on the park, played poorly by his own very high standards. And Iheanacho is by far your better bet right now. And he is nowhere near fit. But I looked at him at Firhill and wonderful touch, wonderful link-up play with Tonekte. Has got vital goals for Celtic already. And at the moment, while Dyson Maeda gets his head sorted out, Iheanacho has to be the better bet.
Brendan Rodgers did say today maybe he could look at playing Dyson Maeda off the right. Now, I am sure he said last week that he wasn't too keen on that. I'd need to listen back. I am almost certain he was asked about it last week and he didn't really seem to fancy the idea. So maybe that's a solution. But as things stand, Scott, is Iheanacho in the driving seat for the number 9 position tomorrow? And is Sebastian Tonetke in the driving seat for the slot on the left? And if so, where does that leave Dyson Maeda?
Yeah, I think Iheanacho plays up front. I think Tonetke plays on the left purely down to just the hunger. The two of them look hungry to do really well for Celtic. Maeda, obviously, we spoke about his quality, especially last season, how influential he can be in this Celtic team when he's 100% at it. I think there's a bit of aggression out of his game. I think there's no question about that. I think fans will say that. I think in that first half on Wednesday night, it was actually detriment to how Celtic were trying to play. I think you see that in terms of when Iheanacho comes on, having that focal point and being in the box for chances coming in, and obviously gets his goal. So for me, the two positions are taken now by guys who are hungry to do well for the club. I think in terms of that right forward position, I think, I know he has that pace, he has that, obviously, that press that we all speak about, but I think it actually might suit him getting in the back post. Goals that we used to see Celtic score a lot from opposite winger to opposite winger, with Tonetke obviously looking to take guys on, flashing balls across. Maeda could get confidence back playing that way.
Is there a risk, and obviously he does generally seem like the ultimate hardworking pro, doesn't he? Such a standard setter. But if Brendan Rodgers is the one that's saying that there clearly is an issue there at the moment, subconsciously or not, do you risk making that even worse by, out of the three positions, playing him in his least favourite of the three?
Well, I think by what Brendan Rodgers done on Wednesday night, I think he's happy to make big decisions if it is for the benefit of the team, which you would expect all managers to do, but it's still a big call. I think the easiest thing on Wednesday is probably take Yang off, put Iheanacho on, and then put one on the opposite wing, but he didn't. So he obviously knew that it was affecting the squad as a whole. So that was a big call from Brendan Rodgers, and one that I think says a lot about him. So if he's got a big decision to make in the coming weeks and doesn't think it allows the team to be as fluid and as creative as he wants, then I'm sure he'll make the big call.
Scott, the fact that he's called him out, you know, it's interesting because not like Brendan Rodgers, but
he did have a lot of sympathy with him there, though, you could hear as well.
Yeah, but
it's kind of try to keep him on side as well at the same time, because as I said, when he's playing well, you know what type of player you're getting.
He did get a very good goal against Kilmarnock, brave header, and seemed to be enthusiastic, but I can only go with the evidence of my own eyes being at a match rather than in a studio, and he looked detached from everyone.
He's changed, this guy. One day we let him out the studio and he's analysing the body language in the warm-up, honestly. Yeah. What have we become? Anyway, Ricky thinks it could well be time to leave Dyson Maeda out tomorrow. Do you agree or do you not? Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Worrying times for some of our pundits on Beat the Pundit, honestly. Really, really poor form for the likes of Gordon Dalziel, Simon Donnelly. It's pretty much, it's averaging roughly, it's a one listener victory for every two pundit victories this season. That's closer than it used to be, let me tell you. So Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen there for the taking tonight. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here at 01419511025, or you can tweet the guys at Clyde SSB. Lots of calls reacting to last night's defeat for Rangers against Genk coming in. Lots more criticism of Russell Martin, and lots to be said ahead of the trip to Livingston at the weekend. What about you Celtic fans? Just before the break, we got into a very interesting debate, because one that you probably wouldn't have expected not so long ago. Is it time for Daizen Maeda to not start matches for Celtic? When you look at his form, Brendan Rodgers saying today, maybe consciously or subconsciously feeling a bit sorry about the lack of move over the window. Iheanacho's come in, Tanetki's come in. What do you think of that front three tomorrow? We can get back to it once we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I wasn't here last night, but word reached me that it was another defeat.
Yeah, Dazzler lost in a tiebreak.
He's not having a good time of it, is he?
No,
not at all.
By his standards, he took it quite well. You know, usually they shout at him, bawling, it goes on. It's about 20 past seven before it finishes. But
And he's playing darts tonight.
Oh, I heard this. It's some sort of darts six all apparently last night. That's a good game. You can't argue with that. 12 goal thriller. Let's see what happens between one of you two and Matthew from Dumbarton. How are you, Matthew?
I'm good. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Is this your Beat the Pundit debut?
It sure is, yeah.
Good stuff. I will toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it is the red side, it will, of course, be Scott Allen. So let's see how it goes tonight. And it is blue for Hugh. Let's get him back in the saddle.
Again?
I feel like you've not played in a while.
No, for the last 3 weeks, Hugh's had it.
Yeah.
Right, give him something else to listen to, please. Nice and loud, so that Matthew cannot be disturbed. 30 seconds, Matthew. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer. It is that simple, okay?
No problem.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Before Genk, who were the last Belgian team Rangers faced?
Union Saint-Gilloise.
Who was the last Hibs manager to beat Celtic?
David Gray.
Who are the only team who won their midweek fixture in the Premiership?
Pass.
What colour are the sails on the Clyde FC badge?
Black.
Name any player sent off in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Diamandi.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Tim Fairman.
Okay, let's bring him back, Hugh Keevans. Can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions. You've got 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Before Genk, who were the last Belgian team Rangers faced?
Bruges.
Who was the last Hibs manager to beat Celtic?
Alan Stubbs.
Who are the only team who won their midweek game in the Scottish Premiership this midweek?
Dundee United.
What colour are the sails on the Clyde FC badge?
Red.
Name any player sent off in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Pass.
Who is currently top of the Scottish Championship?
That would be...
3, 2...
Have a guess.
1.
Go on.
Oh, you'll kick yourself when you hear it. Matthew, what do you think?
I don't think I've done too well there. It's a lot easier doing it in the...
I know. And that was summed up, Matthew. The experienced players here on Beat the Pundit say it's if you kind of wobble on the first question, it can set you back. And you missed it. One of two things happened. Either you missed an open goal, or you've tried to remove the Club Bruges game from your memory because it was so...
I couldn't believe it. You said Bruges there. That's what it was.
You're trying to forget about it, and I understand why. So the last Belgian team Rangers faced was Bruges. Incidentally, did you notice Russell Martin called Genk Bruges in his interview by accident? Which, look, can happen. You can misspeak. Ashamed to admit, I was in the front row in the room, and I didn't notice. And it was someone who said today If you actually watch it back, he said O'Brien started getting on top. I think he's probably got a lot going on at the moment. 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. The last Hibs manager to beat Celtic is David Gray. There you go. Simple as that. It was in 22nd of February.
At Easter Road.
A 2-1, so it is a 1-1 on the scoreboard. The only team who won their midweek game was Dundee United. Hugh Keevans goes back in front. It's end-to-end stuff. What colour are the sails on the Clyde FC badge? It is red. So Hugh Keevans stretches his advantage. Name any player sent off in the Premiership this season. I could see why you went for Diomande. Matthew, him and red cards are at the forefront of your mind. But you had the choice of Nicky Devlin, Jan Danda, Nasser Djiga, Vítko Savé and George Stanger. So none of you got them right. And Hugh Keevans, you might have won, but the worst answer of the night is your failure to remember.
I'll let Matthew off
because he's obviously under the pressure of being a beginner. But yes, St Johnstone top of the Championship.
A complete brain fade at that point.
You did get one on the board, Matthew, but unfortunately for you, Hugh Keevans got a 3. Hard lines.
Yeah, fair play, yeah.
Well, Matthew, people who come from Clydebank like to beat people who come from Dunbarton. It's just the way it is.
That made up, rivalry from you.
No. Clydebank and Dunbarton, when the Bankies were in the Scottish Football League, as it was
right,
then.
Okay. I suppose it'd be nearest kind of.
Yeah, well, I took my then fiancée to a Clydebank Dunbarton match. There.
As in, and she married you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In spite of that, yeah.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much to Matthew. Speaking of rivalries, what about tonight? Tell me your
Auchinleck and Cumnock.
Auchinleck Cumnock.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
In the Scottish Cup tonight.
Friday night.
On the telly.
Is this wise?
On the TV.
That would have been a good one to go to.
First round of the Scottish Cup. I hope that gets a ridiculously high viewing audience. And some exec somewhere will say, why is there so many people watching Auchinleck v Cumnock? Who's the home team again, sorry?
Auchinleck
it is, yeah, that's right. Saw the picture of the
pitch looked good.
The pitch earlier. That's proper football for a Friday night, is it not?
Oh, I'm not sure it's wise, but there you are.
Auchinleck have had a good few cup runs in recent seasons. Cumnock won the Junior Cup, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago? So interesting to see who comes out on top in that one. If you're going along, maybe give us a call. It'd be nice to mix it up a bit. 01419511025. Robbie is a Celtic fan. Can I spring one on you, Robbie? Would you drop Daizen Maeda, or does he stay in the team for now?
Good evening, guys. Good evening. I'm actually want to talk about a couple of Celtic players, one being Iheanacho and the other one being Hatate. But to answer your question, Gordon, I would maybe put him on the right-hand side. I know that Brendan Rodgers in today's press conference did say that he's mainly under his cell and Ange ever since he actually came to the club. He's mainly played on the left-hand side with the second option being through the middle. But just to remind people out there that under Ange and Brendan, he has been playing on the right-hand side. No often, but there's actually times where I've been at Celtic Park and watched him switch over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes go to the start, maybe start on the left and go to the right, then substitutions and so forth. So he has played on the right. I would actually, if I was keeping him in the team, I would play him on the right-hand side tomorrow if he was going to. But I'm not too bothered either way, Gordon, if he's on the bench tomorrow. But if I was to play him, it would be on the right.
Have you got any long-term concerns about, you know, whether he can, not so much whether he's committed, just whether for whatever reason you can still get the best out of him? Do you think he'll come back? Do you think he'll come good again?
Yeah, I think he will, Gordon. The reason being is I think it was Hugh that touched on at the start of the show that, you know, to actually be, you know, potentially hours away from leaving Celtic Park and, you know, getting this move, whoever the club was, to up his wages, and, you know, he's probably put January 2022 was how long he's been here for, so that's 3.5 seasons, and that's pretty good shelf life for a player of his quality to be at Celtic. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk or towards the end of the last season about him going try to get him on a new deal. But I'll get over to the other player I'm wanting to actually deal with, and that's Iheanacho. Now, I think that Celtic could win a watch with this guy. And I know it's early to make this prediction. It's just a gut feeling, and it's a potential behind what I'm going to say. I think that he could be one of the best freebies that Celtic have ever had in their history at the club. I like him because he's that focal point. He can come a wee bit short, he can link the play, he's got a really good touch. And I think Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans would agree. Now, I'm not saying he's as good as this player, right? But he has got the touch and the style very similar to Odson Edward. Very, very similar types of players. The way they've got that touch, they can flick it on that one against the Partick Thistle, Tanetke, the wee flicker. He's got the penalty that he got out against Kilmarnock. And when he came on in the second half... against Red Star there on Wednesday, I thought he was really, really good at holding the ball up. And the way he took that, just it's all to do with Scott Allen, I'll tell you, even though he's not a striker. When you take that, it's all about body shape to get the touch first, then to get the strike away. It's basically your first touch. And even when he's playing in the midfield, Scott Allen, he'll tell you, when you're actually playing, it's all to do with that first touch for your angle. It's all to do with body shape. The way, and if you got your first touch brilliantly, that sets everything up, whether it's a pass or a shot or anything else. And I really, really like him. I like that he's previously worked with Brendan Rodgers, and he's 6'1". I mean, that's only an inch shorter than Edward. I hope he's better in the air than Edward, because that was as good as Edward was. He wasn't great in the air. He's headed shots you could count in one hand at the amount of headers he had. Yeah. But
let's put some of that to Scott then, because you do make some good points, and it's all linked actually, because the whole point of discussing whether Maeda does come out of the team is partly to do with Iheanacho and how he's hit the ground running up to a point. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think he's been excellent. I think in terms of that quality that Robbie's speaking about in terms of Edward had the lovely deft touches.
Is that Edward's cousin?
Huh. Who did I say that?
Edward.
Did I say Edward?
We just combined these two names. See, to be fair, on that comparison, I, whether it's accurate or not, it's neither here nor there. I was waiting for Robbie to put in a really yeah. out there name.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm not saying he's the same, but he reminds me of Ronaldo or something like that. Edward was at least.
No, well, Edward's obviously played Premier League and so has Iheanacho for a number of seasons. So he has the deft touches, I think, that strikers of that quality do possess. In terms of how he takes the ball for the goal, yeah, it's fantastic. I think Negrin as well, to be fair, he does that step where it just opens the angle up for then Iheanacho to get his into body shape to then receive the ball. And then when he receives it, he can actually go either way, and then just obviously lifts it over the goalkeeper. So there's no doubt in my mind that he has that quality. I actually think that as the season progresses, you'll see more from Iheanacho. I think he's not even 100% yet, but he definitely has that finesse, I think, that Celtic fans want in their striker.
It's almost as if fate has directed him here. You know, he gets the 3 points for Celtic at Kilmarnock with a penalty. He made a goal for Tenechty at Firhill last Sunday. He scores against Red Star, you know, and he's beginning to look the part more and more, the case as he gets fitter and fitter. And Celtic part tomorrow. Celtic haven't been at home for a few weeks for one reason or another. He will thrive on Celtic Park. Sebastian Tenechty will thrive on Celtic Park. And that's why I think it's a pity. The silent protest for me is detrimental to the team. When they are chanting against the board, for players, it's just another part of the noise. But silence is detrimental to the team.
Thank you to Robbie. What do you make of that? That's a secondary point from Brendan Rodgers' press conference today, which is interesting. I'll play his answer in a second. Just quickly to knock the Iheanacho thing in the head, because I thought it was interesting being at the press conference today. He got a glowing report from his manager, as you might expect, but completely unprompted, in the middle of his answer, Brendan Rodgers threw in that he's got one of the lowest body fat percentages at the club. It almost made you think that he was kind of aware of what the accusations maybe were about Iheanacho. That was the fear, wasn't it? You saw stuff on social media and people speculated that he was overweight and all that sort of stuff. I think Brendan Rodgers just dropped that in there to let it be known that he was aware of it and to try and contradict it ultimately.
Yeah, and listen, obviously he obviously sees the player on a day-to-day basis. Celtic as a club, they do that every week anyway, so they're professionals. You're obviously a club the size of Celtic, competing in Europe and competing for trophies every season. So listen, I think in terms of the pictures you've seen, sometimes you just take a bad picture. We all do sometimes. But Brendan Rodgers obviously has the facts here, so he obviously is one of the lowest body fats at the club.
Here we go. What's your body fat?
I wouldn't even begin to know.
I think you look quite lean, I would say.
Well, I had a packet of crisps today.
Oh, for you, at least 15 then.
96 calories. Is that a lot?
Not particularly.
No.
You're all right. You must be in the healthy crisps.
Was it a pack of Skips?
I got them upstairs in the vending machine. They're for vegans, apparently.
£3.50 for a 96 calorie packet of crisps.
One pound,
that vending machine's anything to go by.
£1.10.
Scandal. Anyway, Paul is on the other line. Enough about Hugh Keevan's crisp choice. Paul, what are you thinking?
Good evening, Carol. Hi, Gordon. How's Scott?
Hello.
Hi, Hugh. I think there's no harm in taking Maeda and putting him on the bench. There's absolutely no harm in that at all, I don't think. Any actual is definitely Derby's place to start up front. He's 2 goals and an assist. He's great at finishing. If Maeda is, you know, if his head's not in it, there's nothing wrong with putting him on the bench, and then he's got three opportunities to come on afterwards. I don't think you put him on the right straight away, because then what does that do to Yang? Guy's not done anything wrong. You just demoralise another player. If Iheanacho can't play the full 90 minutes, then you bring on Maeda. If Iheanacho is playing a blinder and wants to keep going, and Tanetki needs to come off, you put him on the left. If Yang's no playing, you put him on the right. There's a no-lose situation here. Even if Iheanacho scores 4 goals and they go, right, you come off and put Maeda on, I just don't see the downside of it. And then he can come on and be an impact player. If he comes on and Celtic are playing bad and scores a goal, it's going to lift his confidence. I just don't see any losing situation with putting him on the bench.
I think Brendan Rodgers, though, by bringing this matter to the public attention, is wondering about Daizen Maeda's attitude of mind at the moment. And it's not a question of whether he plays on the left or the right or through the middle. It's a question of whether Brendan Rodgers can have him in the team at all.
But then is that, though, isn't it? Because there are only a set amount. Like, if Tanetki either wasn't there or wasn't very good, then you would still just play Maeda. Yep. So we touched on this last week, because, by the way, is nobody suggesting Balakwisha to start there? No, they don't hear that. But he's left-sided as well. When Jota comes back, so is he.
Yep.
So it is, although Brendan Rodgers is trying to move on and everybody's trying to move on, a lot of this is as a result of not addressing everything during that transfer window, which we spoke about. Yang, I don't need to wind you up, but
he was away as well.
Yang starting Europa League matches is not what the Celtic fans had in mind for this season.
No, not at all. As I say, all of these things are the byproduct of a shambolic transfer window. Leaving Brendan Rodgers with a lopsided team, leaving Maeda in a bad place because he thought he was getting a move during the window. Yang, remember, thought he was going to be a Birmingham player. Yep. That collapsed. He's back up here. It's been a shambles. I'm afraid Yang will never be up to playing for Celtic. But anyway, Brendan Rodgers has to improvise. He has to make it up as he goes along because of the shambolic window. Balakwisha is a worry early on because he really doesn't look as if he's right for the team. So
early,
Rogers,
though, isn't it? I mean, Brendan Rodgers said today the problem is some hit the ground running and therefore you think everybody should.
Yeah.
Do we all need to learn, though? Do we need to learn from Nicholas Kuhn? We're having this debate about transfers because Nicholas Kuhn went for big money because he was very good, even though he didn't start well.
But we're also talking about getting rid of the Rangers manager after 14 games. So the world has speeded up in that regard. James Forrest, will he be called upon yet again? But Brendan Rodgers has a few things to work out. The good thing for Brendan Rodgers is they got a creditable result against Red Star in midweek.
If you have thoughts on the silent protest, then get them into us. It's going to be 12 minutes of silence tomorrow for some Celtic fans, then going up in the European game, then up again for the game against Motherwell. So get your thoughts in as to whether that is right or wrong or somewhere in the middle. And if you want to revisit any of the earlier topics or introduce something new, we are more than here for that as well. Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the evening when the two pundits put their football brains together and try to answer the question set by you. That's the beauty of the full-time teaser. It very much relies on your input. You work away, come up with the question. We need the answers as well, by the way. And then we try and test the pundits to see if they can match you. Stephen and Shawlins has done it tonight. They're always so quick off the blocks with these as well, which I like. They're inspired by something. They get a question together straight away. Can you name the last eight Rangers players to be sent off in the Europa League? And it does include qualifiers. So can you name the last eight Rangers players to be sent off in the Europa League? And it does include qualifiers.
Raskin sent off?
No.
Diamande?
Yes. But do you know what? It just shows you the kind of mood around things. We've not, what, we have seven or something? No debate at all about the red card last night? No,
not at all.
That's it, move on.
You need to be unbelievably argumentative to find something wrong with that decision.
Morelos.
Just before we get back to that, should Rangers have had a penalty?
I don't know. With the handball thing, just week in, week out, we just don't know what's a penalty or not. And I genuinely mean that.
I don't think that. I think football is in a bad spot if that's a handball. But it looked like they were going to give it.
Mm-hmm.
But what stopped it being given was the alleged push by James Tavernier. So was that enough?
Yeah, probably.
Think so.
I think if you get the little nudge, then as I felt, it does knock you off balance. No question about that.
No complaints about the penalty Rangers gave away.
No.
Didn't matter in the end. Jack Butland saved it. Okay. Well, look at us moving on quickly from refereeing debates. We're maturing. I'm sure we'll get back to it at some point. Let's hear from Robert, who's on the line. How are you, Robert?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Robert.
So, I was at the game last night and I was sitting in the Sandy Jardine stand and it cost me £54 to watch that rubbish. Watching the game, it looks to me the players don't know what they're doing and there's no fight or structure within their game. there was 90 countries watching that last night. There was nothing. They knew where my Rangers jersey is all about. It's just a complete... I've got no hope in Russell Martin, and he needs to go. Incidentally, this might sound a bit over the top, but I hope we lose to Livingston on Sunday so we can get rid of this imposter. And also, whoever paid $8 million for Chimite needs hunted as well.
Do you seriously want Rangers to lose, Robert? I'm always fascinated when I hear that. Dick, genuinely the case. I know what you mean about Russell Martin, but seriously.
Yep, 100%.
That's what it's got to,
Gordon. Yeah. It's a very strange place now,
Rangers. At the core of it all, though, just against the sort of fabric of being a football fan, is you just want them to win unconditionally.
Yeah, but Robert,
you want the best long term.
Yeah, Robert will not be alone. I fully appreciate that he may not be part of the majority, but he will not be alone because uniquely, people have turned against Russell Martin. There's nothing at all about him that they respond to. Robert again brings up the question of they don't look as if they know what they're doing. Now, you know yourself, Gordon, that the one observation that Russell Martin really didn't like was that people said they don't look as if they're coached. He took severe exception to that.
And this is going to be an ongoing thing, isn't it? Because that he did take exception to it. So then when they beat Hibs, he came into the press room and he had his quip about they looked coached tonight, didn't they?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So now what about last night? And that battle is going to keep going from one game to the next.
The supporters against Russell Martin. Robert wants to know the background to the transfer of Chimite for £8 million rising to £10 million. Everything about Rangers is contentious, on and off the park. And now Robert puts the tin lid on it by saying, I hope they lose on Sunday. So, I repeat, how long can all of this go on before somebody does something about it?
Any players getting pass marks at the moment, Robert? Let's try. I'm going to set you a challenge to be positive. What can you come up with?
None at all.
Oh, great.
Jack Butland.
Jack Martin, yeah, Diamande, that tackle last night was ludicrous. They should never wait for that tackle. I think he meant to be the wrong way to try and get the ball. I don't think he's good enough for Rangers as well. I to be honest, I don't see any hope with Russell Martin. It's as if he's coaching the good things out the players.
If your teammate is Mohamed Diomande, Scott, and he puts that challenge in, do you just accept that it's a split second rash decision that anybody can make, or are you annoyed at a lack of discipline in a moment that you needed it?
Good question.
Depends if you like him or not.
Yeah, depends if it's your close pal in the changing room or not. And purely depends on the result. I think, listen, it's a poor decision. It's a really poor tackle from where I've seen it. I just feel in these moments, players get that split decision. As you say, Gordon, he's chose the wrong one and ultimately pays the price with the sending off. And then the players, especially the midfielders, the running then becomes a lot more than it probably should be. But ultimately, I think just looking at that performance last night, there's just very little to get behind, and that is the reality. When you're asking the question there, Gordon, who gets past Mertz at this moment in time? Out with Jack Butland, there's been no consistency in terms of performances, and that would be a real worry. You talk about guys flying in to watch a game, they're the same as everybody. You've got to look at your product. What product are you giving the fans at this moment in time? There's just nothing to really get behind at this moment in time.
Very first call tonight, Darren said not going back until Russell Martin is removed. The latest caller, Robert, says he paid over £50 to be there last night and it was rubbish. The supporters are in torment and only results alter that. So for however long Russell Martin is there, results and only results will determine the mood.
Robert, someone we've not mentioned tonight, but I know being at the stadium last night and working there, he came up a bit. So I was wondering what you thought about Mikey Moore's continued inclusion from the start.
I would rather have Ant-Man in. So I would. Ant-Man, he played his first game. That's how I was saying about good things have been coached out of him. Ant-Man came in and played one game in the European tie and he was absolutely fantastic. Getting in behind their fullbacks and things like that. It's as if he's been coached out of him not to do that. As soon as he gets the ball, you might come back, pass it back. It's hopeless to watch. It really is. Russell Martin is damaging your club and he needs to go ASAP because it's going to get worse. And that's how I say I hope we lose to Livingston. I mean, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better with this man. He's an imposter. Sorry to say that. He is an imposter. He should never have been the manager of Rangers in the first place. They never wanted him. They didn't want him. And then we went back. And the last year, our club went back and to be under 38,000 fans there last night, 12,000 fans. When have you ever seen that in a European night at Ibrox?
Yeah, because he was asked about it today. But the question, I think, was sort of packaged about the last two games with the crowd being down, and Russell Martin was quite clever. He saw an opportunity and he rightly pointed out, I said this actually at the weekend, I thought there was too much made of the crowd against Hibs, because usually that stage of the cup does have a lower crowd because it's not in the season ticket. You look back the last couple of seasons, but specifically last night, as Robert says, Thursday nights are what Rangers used to live for, and now there's thousands off the crowd.
There is a serious disconnect between club and fan now, and the person who's creating the disconnect is Russell Martin. It's just a fact of life. Whether it's fair or unfair is for everyone to decide for themselves, but the disconnect between fan and club is caused by Russell Martin.
There's not a huge debate about the Rangers starting 11, because I don't think the players in reserve are like knocking on the door either, Scott. It doesn't feel like anyone. However, I was a bit surprised to see Mikey Moore still stay in the team.
Yeah, did you not feel he performed
better against Hibs?
Nah, you seen flashes. I think ultimately a young kid coming up from Tottenham, definitely a victim of the environment at this moment in time. And it either goes, either sink or swim. At this moment in time, he hasn't. I think sometimes you're a young player and you possess ability that we've all heard about. Sometimes you want to be that guy who go and be that real creative source in the team. He just hasn't quite. You can tell he's really struggling with what's obviously going on at Rangers at this moment in time. But I feel I'm sure he had some good performances for Spurs last year, and in Europe. Maybe it was the season before, but I'm sure he'd come on in some games under Ange and performed well. So maybe that was the thought process of Russell Martin in terms of the game might be a bit different from a domestic one. But at this moment in time, we just haven't seen that quality that everyone had heard about when he was on his way up.
You get varying degrees of young prospect, and I've heard that broad brushed, which might be true, that Rangers right now, or maybe even the Old Firm in general, is not a, it's not a learning ground. It's not a set of stabilisers for a young academy prospect from England. It's just not the right environment. But he, by all accounts, is meant to be a top level prospect.
Yeah.
You know, he played in the Europa League for Spurs when he was it 16, I think, and scored and all this sort of stuff. It'll be interesting to see how long Russell Martin perseveres with that, if there are games where he's not really affecting things.
Well, I can well understand why at the age of 18 he is in a difficult place, because players far more older than him and far more experienced than him are suffering in the current climate at Ibrox. So I can understand why it would get to him. And also our environment here, Celtic have a player from Manchester City who has vanished. He came here.
Celtic have a player from their own academy, though, who's come in, played away to Kelly, away to Thistle, away in Red Star, and been absolutely excellent. Yeah, so I think we sometimes have the quality here, but you have to give them the opportunity.
Of course, but just to compare like with like, Celtic have got one from Manchester City who's vanished off the face of the earth. Rangers have got one from Tottenham who had a huge reputation, but has got caught up in all of what's going on at Ibrox, and he's been sucked into the vortex.
Well,
what a word.
He said a lot of things on this show. I think that might be the first that he's gone there. Thank you to Robert in Partick, who's clearly an unhappy Rangers fan, and there are many of them out there tonight. It's going to be really fascinating to see how they cope with that trip to Livingston at the weekend. It's a better plastic pitch now, remember. It's a new one.
It really is.
And is it meant to rain on Sunday? Is that the good weather over?
That's us, rain.
Well, there you go then. The nice slick surface.
For Livingston.
Jeffy.
What about?
Sent off.
All right. You're going to hate me for this.
Why?
As a Champions League qualifier.
Goldson.
Nope.
Morelos.
No. The question, in case anyone missed it, the last 8 Rangers players to be sent off in the Europa League, and it does include qualifiers.
James Tavernier.
You've got Diomande. Nope.
Balogun.
Yes, against Slavia Prague. What if I told you to stick with Prague, but really think about it? Remember, there was
Glenn Kamara.
Yes, it was obviously the unsavoury stuff, and then I think when they played again, sent off. So Diomande, Kamara, Balogun. Anything else? I'll give you some
Barisic.
Time. Oh no,
no,
no. There was one last season, so maybe only 6 months or so ago. Athletic Bilbao. That was when things were getting pretty ropey for Rangers at that time. Not remember.
Suter?
No, it was his partner. No, nothing. Right, okay. Well, I'll leave it with you. You've got plenty of thinking time. And oh, this is good. This is the highlight of my, this is becoming the highlight of my Friday evening, which maybe says more about my social life than anything. But let's play this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Yes, it is now your chance to win cash with McNair's by simply guessing some of the weekend's results on our Pundit Predictor. Connor lost out on £500 last week because he backed Hibs to beat Rangers at Ibrox, so it rolls over and we've now got £600 to win, and all you have to do is guess the outcome of 3 games. That is it for £600. And this week the games are Celtic against Hibs, Motherwell against Aberdeen, and Livy against Rangers. So call us right now for your chance to win £600 with McNair's. 01419511025. You have until the end of this ad break to call. We will pick a caller at random, and it is over 18s only. Good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'll get kick-off between Auchinleck and Cumnock in the Scottish Cup that we'll keep an eye on. But first and foremost, And more pressingly, we have teamed up with McNair's for our Pundit Predictor. All you need to do is predict the outcome of three games this weekend for your chance to win £600. As always, phone lines red hot. If you're still trying to get through, thank you for giving it a go, but you can now hang up. The lines are closed. We've got our random caller. You can try again next Friday. Who knows, it might even roll over again. So all you have to do this evening is choose the outcome of Celtic Hibs, Motherwell Aberdeen and Livy Rangers. Shane from Pollock is our random caller this evening. How are you, Shane?
I'm good. How are you?
All good, thank you, Shane. It is very simple. I'll read the fixture. You tell me if it's a home win, a draw or an away win. Do you fancy yourself as a bit of a tipster?
I'm okay sometimes.
Good, I like that, which is definitely better than Duke Evans, who's okay never. So let's find out. First up, Shane, Celtic against Hibs.
Celtic home win.
Home win, okay. Motherwell Aberdeen.
Motherwell.
Okay, and Livy Rangers.
Draw.
Oh, okay. Who's your team, Shane?
Celtic.
There we go. Duke Evans, just out of curiosity, what would you go for?
Celtic home win. Motherwell Aberdeen draw. And Rangers to win at Libby.
Okay. Someone did point out to me, you, I don't know if you're aware of this, you've tipped Rangers to win every single league game this season, and they've not won any.
Yeah, that's why Russell Martin must go. Good predictions, poor coach.
I'm now coming round to your way of thinking, you might as well stick with it because they will win at some point now, presumably. Yeah. I don't know. Right, thank you very much to Shane. Enjoy your weekend, Shane. Get the feet up. And we'll find out on Monday if you win the £600. And if not, we roll over again and add another £100 to the pot, thanks to McNair's. I don't know if the good people at McNair's thought this was going to be knocked in the head at £100 or £200, but there we go. So we're almost there. Actually, in amongst the Maeda and Iheanacho and protests, not really discussed what could be a good game of football tomorrow between Celtic and Hibs. What are you thinking?
Hibs have had a disappointing run of late. They were very poor at Ibrox last Saturday. They had a 2-goal start on Falkirk and didn't see it out. 2-2 draw. People like Kieran Bowie, Rocky Bashiri, who had a terrific start to the season, they've tailed off a bit. I just think Tunekte will love Celtic Park tomorrow. I think Iheanacho will enjoy being adored by tens of thousands. And as I say, the only regret for Brendan Rodgers is that silence is detrimental to the team. If you chant against the board, it's just another part of the noise for players. But silence is different.
What are you saying about your old team, Scott Allen? Are they starting to not quite deliver what many people thought they would this season?
Yeah, I think that would be fair. And I think the riding the high, obviously, some of the European performances, and you kind of give them a bit of leeway in the league. But in terms of Saturday at Ibrox, it was as poor as I'd seen the Hibs all season. Weren't aggressive. Yes, they had chances in the first half, but they didn't really get close to Rangers players and put them under real pressure. I think you could tell with David Gray in his interview that he was really frustrated in terms of the performance that they delivered. They then obviously go on to Falkirk and they're in the driving seat, should be 3 or 4 up, in my opinion. And again, being in that, I think against Kilmarnock earlier in the season, where they had a 2-goal lead, they lose 1 goal, and then you can just feel that bit of nervousness creep in, and they're leaking goals. That would be the main concern. And Celtic, obviously, back at Celtic Park, obviously a few weeks away, they'll be looking to extend the lead.
Right, talk to me about Fir Park. I am going to hot foot it from here to Fir Park. Exciting. For the second half tomorrow, because I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Motherwell can do. But I think in terms of narrative, your least favourite word, it's all about Aberdeen, really, isn't it?
Of course it is. Jimmy Tilleen, rumours that Aberdeen are looking around for his replacement. For Aberdeen to be bottom of the table is a scandal. Not to have scored a league goal this season, a scandal. My fear for Motherwell is that they played Aberdeen last weekend, they play Aberdeen this weekend. Under those circumstances, funny things happen. I thought Motherwell were superb at Pittodrie and absolutely deserved to go into the semi-final at Aberdeen's expense. I think they can do it tomorrow, but my concern is that Aberdeen have got to score sometime, got to play better sometime, and it might just be at Fir Park, and that's why I've gone for a draw.
They might want to start by scoring a league goal, Scott Allen, which is absolutely remarkable, and not in a good way. I do actually take Hugh's point, and maybe it's the old kind of negativity or the kind of cynicism of life as a Motherwell fan, it wouldn't be outrageous to suggest that Aberdeen do win because they or get something they're going to need to win at some point. I see where he was coming from, but Chinky's in real bother if they don't.
Yeah. I think not getting results and then not even looking at scoring a goal, I think that would be a huge concern. Obviously the Aberdeen board and the fans obviously voiced some of their frustrations during the week against Dundee United. Obviously the signings Armstrong, Nisbet, Carlson as well coming in looking to inject a bit of life on them on the deadline day, and it just hasn't had that effect of yet. So the longer it goes without scoring, that psychological thing starts to play into it. And Motherwell, we've been really complimentary in terms of our style of play. I think if they get it right, they could give someone a real doing.
It's not as if Jimmy Tillien has grounds for complaint. You know, you can't hide
five
behind
5-32, Hugh. 5 wins yeah. in 32 yeah. games.
You can't hide behind a Scottish Cup win and say, oh, that makes everything all right. It's a dreadful run. Money's been spent on that team.
It must complicate it emotionally for the Aberdeen fans, though, because I noticed a real split the other night. You know, there's a... On one hand, you're clearly allowed to think that the manager is now no longer doing a good enough job and you might want him to go, but you could see the dispute online and maybe even in the stands with the Aberdeen fans, so I'm not quite sure if it's appropriate to chant sacked in the morning at a guy that delivered the yeah. Scottish Cup in May.
Yeah.
So you can almost sense how difficult that must be.
Again, I balance that by saying Aberdeen Football Club, bottom of the mm-hmm. league, goals.
No, that's what I said. I'm talking about the way you then express that rather than... The desire to remove him is fine, because as you say, the 5-32, bottom of the league, no goals. But I can sense the Aberdeen fans are not sure how to express it towards a guy that delivered the Scottish Cup to them.
Well,
is it appropriate to chant sacked in the morning at your own manager when he won the Scottish Cup in May?
They'll know tomorrow. I mean, if Motherwell beat Aberdeen at Fir Park, the fans will know exactly how to respond, because like Russell Martin, like Rangers, this can't go on. Something has to give.
Yeah, I'm the same. Listen, I just think the longer you go in a team, you're not scoring goals. Then listen, the performances have been really, really poor. I think fans are at the same time frustrated by some of the selections he's picking, especially in the midfield area. The signings obviously we spoke about. They're coming into that and haven't quite got Aberdeen firing yet. So for me, as I said, seen a lot of Motherwell and think Motherwell will be comfortable winners tomorrow.
Comfortable? Wow.
Yes.
I feel what's maybe gone under the radar a bit as to how impressive Motherwell's style is actually the way that they've actually got a lot of injuries and different players keep going out and other ones come in, and it's quite seamless. So if you remember, Callum Slattery was probably one of the standout midfielders at the start. He's injured. Elijah Just, that was the guy, I don't know if you remember the game at Tynecastle. Hearts fans were honestly saying, who is that guy in claret and amber? He was absolutely outstanding. They were both out of the game at Pittodrie. They're both still out, so you just wonder if Motherwell can keep that up, keep bringing other guys in and making it work.
Got Andy in there, haven't they? Bring in.
Doesn't look likely. He's a spectator at the moment. But again, it just shows you how different things are this season, and they've got a different way of doing things.
I read a quote from Mercedes Jens, who said that Aberdeen are in a desperate place, and that makes them an even harder opponent tomorrow. So great games tomorrow, and the real fascination: Aberdeen, bottom of the league, no goals; Motherwell, 5 games, 5 draws. It's astonishing stuff, but I really like your manager. I think he's made, and you said it yourself last weekend, Gordon, that you can't remember a Motherwell team playing a better style of football than this one.
No, certainly not style, but there have been teams that get results, so that'll be the next step. We've got a goal in that big Ayrshire derby in the Scottish Cup. It is Cumnock who strike first. A nice header into the bottom corner, looking like nil. Cumnock 1 with 8.5 minutes gone. It looks lively. The young ultras, look at that. The next Hugh Keevans could be in there, falling in love with football. This teaser, we're miles off it, and I've looked at the time. I think we're in real trouble.
Robin Proper.
So players that have been sent off for Rangers in the Europa League, including qualifiers: Balogun, Demande, Kamara. Proper, yes. Oh dear, we've still got half of them to go.
Did we get an era?
Got away from us.
They're John Lundstrom.
Yeah, well done. They're all that era. Really, can you think
Ryan
of any?
Jack.
Yes.
You're on fire. Go
Ryan
on.
Kent.
Nope.
What are you doing?
The next two are like attackers, so you might not really associate them with red cards as such, you know, that type of challenges or whatever. But one was against Slavia Prague in 2021. One was against Villarreal in
Sima
2018. Nope.
Villarreal in 2018?
Yeah. He was a right winger, this guy. Portuguese.
Portuguese. Candeias?
Yes. And the last one, I think he plays his international football for Jamaica.
So Kemal Roof.
Well done. Thank you to Hugh Keevans and to Scott Allen. And thank you for your company. That was very busy. Lots to get through. So we appreciate you getting in touch. And what a brilliant weekend we've got. We mentioned Fir Park. I mean, the stakes for Aberdeen so high. Silent protests, Dyes in Maeda, Celtic against Hibs should be a cracker there as well. And my goodness, Sunday for Russell Martin away to Livingston. Loads to get through this weekend, so make sure you join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We're already looking forward to it. If we can keep Gordon Dalziel away from watching the golf while the show is on, we will try our very best. And of course, up next is the GBX. So enjoy the rest of your Friday.